Just going to read from Philippians chapter 1. Hope my voice holds out this afternoon. I thought I was going to be losing my voice last night, but appear to have rallied a bit during the night. Philippians chapter 1, read it from the NIV. I'd like you to notice as we read through some of the sentiments that Paul gives to the people of Philippi. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Just a few things I want to look at this afternoon, and that's just a briefly look at Paul himself, and then perhaps a little bit at ourselves, what this reveals to us. Paul, I believe, is a man who has received a lot of attention down through the ages, not all of it good. Paul has been described by various people as a bit of a demagogue, a misogynist, and as a man who misled people away from what Jesus was really trying to teach about the kingdom of God. And his life and his letters have come under close scrutiny by many. I think that this letter gives us what Paul is really like. It shows us the man and how he related to these people of Philippi. If you read through it, you'll notice some of the terms of affection that he uses towards these people. First of all, he tells them how much he remembers them in his prayers. He thinks of them often and remembers them in their prayers. He desires the best for them. He has a confidence in these people that the work that has been started in their lives will go on to fruition and completion in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about his feeling, how it's right for him to feel this way towards these people as their fellow workers, but not just workers, companions and friends in the gospel. And God, he says, can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Here is the heart of the man, Paul, how he desires the good, how he desires that these people would grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of God and in the power of their living for him, and that ultimately everything will be to the praise of God. So this letter of Paul, it stands out as a writing, a letter of gratitude. It's a giving of thanks from the heart of Paul for these people. I'm sure they weren't perfect by any means, but he's thankful for them. And it seems, as you read through the letter itself, that you find that the people have given out as well. They've not just been recipients of the love of Paul, but they've also given from what they have, and how little that may be, we do not know, but they've given out to the work that Paul was involved with, and they've supported other works, and he gives thanks that they have done so as well. And this letter is Paul's effort to say thank you to some people who are very special to him. In the opening verses, Paul meditates upon the relationship with the Philippian church that he has, and he notes some reasons why their fellowship has been close and how and why it's endured over the years to such a strength. And it's hopeful that some of these characteristics would be ours as well as a church, however few we may be. I'm just going to go through some of the things that we have as a church or should have, and the benefits that we can have, like the Philippians, the things that they had as well. The Philippian congregation was strong. They were united, and they were full of love, not just towards themselves, but to others as well. They performed many acts of help towards the churches that surrounded them and churches that were distant from them too. But the first thing that they share, Paul and these Philippians and the people in the church, is that they shared salvation. And that's the foundation of it. They shared foundation. And salvation is a common need of all men and women and children in that age and in this age too. Salvation is crucial because it is something that is eternal. And these people had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted in the cross of Christ. They'd come to him and they'd receive salvation. And that was the bedrock upon the relationship that Paul had with them and that they had with themselves. They shared salvation. Salvation brings eternal life. But it does more than that. It unites people of very different backgrounds. As we look around ourselves today, we come from different backgrounds. I come from a different country. And despite the things that might separate us, the things that may cause us to argue and fight over nation, we are united in Christ. We have been brought into this unifying life within the church. And that's only achieved through what the Lord Jesus Christ. In our day and age, it's very popular for people to talk about tolerance and various things like this, how people should get on. And we would no doubt agree with that. No one wants to be intolerant to other people. But the church, I believe, is the only place where true unifying themes come to life and work or in action in our churches. We share salvation. And it brings us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talks about that elsewhere in the letter to the Ephesians on the unity of the body of Christ. So these are some of the things that we share with one another and with others around us as well. The second thing that they shared is that they shared a servant spirit. I spoke earlier at the first service on how Peter described himself as an apostle, but not only that, he described himself as a servant of Christ And of course, we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who got down to below the knees of his disciples and washed their feet. Such an example to us of this attitude that we should have. So these people, these Philippians, along with Paul, were true servants of God and of one another. They served each other. A slave is someone who's devoted to another to the total disregard of their own selves, their own interests. And this should be something that characterizes ourselves as well. And of course, when we say things like that, whether it's one-to-one or from the platform, we know that we have a long way to go. We know that when we examine ourselves by the Word of God, and that is the standard that we should be living by, nothing else but the Word of God, we know that we fall short. But we know what we should be aiming for as well. We see perfection in our Savior. We see perfection in our Father. We see perfection in the Word of God. And sometimes we almost see perfection in some of the churches of God as described, but not always. And we know that we are an unfinished project of the Lord, that one day will be finished, that one day will be called home to be like Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. The mark of genuine Christianity is a willingness to put others ahead of self. The servant spirit that these people had in Philippi showed itself in three ways. They had mutual care, they had mutual prayer, and they had mutual love. Mutual care. They really cared for the needs of each other, but more than that, they weren't so insular. They had care for others as well, the churches around them. They would gather together gifts to give to these churches when they had these churches have need, but the Philippines had needs themselves. They gave to their own detriment in many ways, but they had a mutual care for each other, a care for the churches around about them, and a care for the Apostle Paul and his fellow workers as well. What they had is empathy, the ability to experience as one's own the difficulties of others. And that's not always easy to have, is it? To feel the difficulties that others have. Of course, we don't always know. But when we do, we feel it as if we had it ourselves. And these people showed towards each other this mutual care. And one of the things that shows is that other people know that they're cared for. And I think that's really important. Not only knowing that we care for others, but that we're cared for ourselves, that we bear up ourselves and others in this manner of love. So they had mutual care and they had mutual prayer, because there are times when we're not able to help physically. I can't always help people, even my own family, on a physical level. If someone's feeling pain through an injury or sickness, sadly, I can't take that upon myself. So what do? When we cannot share this kind of load, we can pray. The church prays, brings before the Lord our God the needs of ourselves and the needs of others. And these people had mutual prayer for themselves, for the churches around about them, and for the work of Paul and his helpers. So they had empathy earlier, but here we have an example of sympathy towards others. And hopefully it's something that we can feel towards others as well. Genuine love can be portrayed through consistent prayer for one another. How does prayer help other people? I'd like to give the example of Moses when they were fighting, the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites in Exodus. Moses went up, and as long as he was holding his hands up in the air, the Israelites were having the victory. But you know, it was a long battle, and he couldn't stay there with his hands raised like that. So they put a stone underneath him so he could sit down and still have his hands raised up. But that wasn't enough. His arms got tired and they would begin to flag. So Aaron and Hur held up his arms for him. And the Israelites were victorious in their battle against the Amalekites. We need each other and we need help. I need lifted up by your prayers. You need lifted up by my prayers. So wherever love is, there's other essential elements of fellowship that should be found. Forgiveness, peace, joy, kindness, tenderness, meekness, blessing, and acceptance. Are our lives marked by those things? This is a challenge to us. And the beauty of Paul's relationship with these people is a challenge to us as well. So they shared a servant spirit. They shared salvation. Lastly, just a few comments. They shared sincerity. As we read through various New Testament letters, we get the impression that some of the churches were maybe playing at being a church a little bit. When you think or read through the Corinthian letters, particularly the first one, you see that there are so many things that were going on within that church that were harmful. There were people doing things that were wicked and sinful still, and they had to be rebuked. And Paul did rebuke them. He didn't hold back. He wrote this first letter to them in order to correct various things that were going on and that were harmful to the body of Christ. So perhaps quite a few of them weren't being sincere, particularly when he talks about the breaking of bread service, how that some of them were just bringing along their own food and getting on with it to the ignoring of other people. So they lacked sincerity. The Philippians, however, are different. They show sincerity in all that they do. They were sincere about their task, their mission around them and amongst themselves and for other people as well. Church to them was not just a social gathering. It's nice to have social gatherings, and it's good that we can have them as well, as we have fellowship over various things. But it's not just a social gathering. What they were about was the Lord's business. They were going about the Lord's work. They saw themselves as those who were also servants of the living God. They didn't just pay lip service to it. They gave their all for the work of the Lord, for the Lord's business itself. They were held together in this desire to serve God. A wonderful example to us. No doubt they weren't perfect. No doubt Paul could point out one or two things that were wrong, that needed correction. But they had so much that these people were doing right. And you see the expression of Paul, how he gives thanks for them, and how he desires to help them even more. So Paul and Philippi had a wonderful close relationship because they shared some wonderful things. They shared salvation. And they shared the key to all of it, which is love. Earlier again, during the first service, I mentioned various things that Peter wrote that the people he was writing to were to add to themselves. They were add one after the other to build themselves up. And the last thing was love. But you know, without that last thing, all of the other stuff before would be worthless. And that's what Paul writes in Corinthians in chapter 13. All of the achievements that he could ever make, all the achievements that you and I could ever make, how clever we are, how productive we are, would be worthless if it was done without love. So let's pray that our church, our fellowship, would be expressive of this love to one another and love to others as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have, which only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and that work on the cross that he did. We thank you that our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead and is able to give each one of us new life, salvation through him, so that we can start upon that journey towards the day when we will see him. Our Father, it is our prayer that if there are any here who have not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus as Saviour, that your Holy Spirit would move in their hearts and show them the need that they have. So we pray that you would help us as we seek to take on board the teachings of your word. And we pray that our lives may be reflective of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our lives may be worthy of his name. We again would pray for Jim Cunningham at this time. We pray that you'll be with the family and that you'll be close to them, and they too would know the loving presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.